The second reading is taken from Matthew and is verses 22 to 33. Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great, well, why not keep that bit of the Bible open in front of you? And let me start with a question. I don't actually want an answer to this. Am I normal? Don't text in on the WhatsApp. I don't need that kind of feedback first thing. But am I normal? Am I normal? Are you normal? And what I mean is that this morning we are thinking about doubt. And I want to say this morning that, look, I'm someone who at various points in my Christian life has doubted. I've doubted whether God was really there. I've doubted whether God really loved me. I've doubted what was God doing in the situations and the circumstances that I was in. Am I normal? Now, wonderfully, I'm hoping James is going to put it on the screen for us. I'm in quite good company when it comes to doubt. Next slide, if you would, James. Because the Archbishop of Canterbury, and now I'm training to be an ordinary, so I don't have to bow every time I say his name, the Archbishop of Canterbury. He describes how he's had periods of doubt in his Christian walk. Doubt actually seems to be quite normal. I am more normal than you think. And as you read the Bible, and what you come across is people, I think, again and again and again, who express to God words like, "What the chuff are you doing? Why this thing now?" Doubt seems to be something that people of faith throughout the Bible experience. And in our Bible story today, the same thing happens. Just have a look with me at verse 31. Jesus said to him, to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Doubt and little faith seem to be normal Christian experience. And yet, if I was to say to you this morning and ask you to admit to it, very few of us would want to put our hands in the air and say, "Yes, I'm a doubter. Yes, I'm someone of little faith." It's almost like having doubt or little faith is the worst possible thing you could ever have. But what I want to argue this morning, not in an aggressive way, but what I want to argue this morning is that doubt has the potential to lead to greater worship. Doubt has the potential to lead to greater worship. And I want to say, actually, Matthew's gospel ends with worship and doubt together. If you turn to chapter 28 and verse 17, Jesus appears to them on the mountaintop and they worshipped and they doubted. So we're going to go on a journey, hopefully this morning, where we're going to see that doubt has the potential to lead to greater worship. So what's going on in our little bit of the Bible? Why not open up and let's just think about the scene that is set. Jesus just fed thousands of people with a packed lunchbox, which is pretty exciting. And he sends the crowd away, and he sends the disciples away in a boat as well, while he goes up on a mountaintop to pray. And the scene is set. The disciples are in the boat. They're going away from him across the lake. It's a very large lake. And Jesus decides he wants to catch up with them. So look with me at verse 23. So after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So the disciples are in a boat. There's a storm. We've been in a situation like this before in the Gospels. And Jesus takes a slightly different tack this time. Look at this, verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went to them walking on the lake. Jesus walks on the water in the storm towards the disciples' boat. Well, Jesus, he surprises them, shall we say. Verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. The storm is pretty scary, but a figure walking on water in the middle of the storm is scarier still. And the disciples are shaken. They don't know what to make of it. They think it's a ghost. And then, of course, Peter, which is our little series. We're looking at lessons from the life of Peter. He responds as he always does, immediately and without much thought. Look what he says. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." So this ghost-like figure has appeared. He says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." Peter's like, "Oh, okay, let's have a little test. Let's work out whether this really is Jesus." And I'm not sure how this test actually works out, whether it's Jesus or not. If it was a ghost with a sense of humor, he probably just said yes, and then Peter would have dropped into the water and drowned. But no, Peter says, "All right, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you." And Peter hears Jesus' words. Jesus, walking on the water, says to Peter, "Come. Come." And at this moment, we get a lesson in faith. Now, let me just be clear before I go on. You can't prove your faith by walking on water. After the church service, we're all going to go to the canal, and we're going to take it in turns to see who can walk on water, to see who here has faith. That's not the lesson. No, the lesson is this. Look what happens. Verse 29, Jesus says, "Come." And what does Peter do? He obeys the word of Jesus. Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. See, faith, if we get it defined here, is to hear the words of Jesus, his offer for us to come to him and obey. Faith is to hear Jesus' word of welcome and walk towards him. Faith for Peter isn't about walking on water. It's about having his eyes utterly fixed on Jesus every step of the way. See, faith for us is just the same. The Lord Jesus says to each of us, "Come. Come and be forgiven. Come. Come and be part of my family. Come." And the obedience that comes from faith takes him at his word and receives forgiveness, receives welcome into his family, and each day seeks to have eyes fixed on Jesus wherever we're walking, whether it's on the water or on the roads around Ashton. Faith is about hearing Jesus' word of welcome and having our eyes fixed on him every step of the way. And so it all seems to be going really well. I don't know about you, if I was on the boat, I'd be one of the ones who would stay on the boat, whereas Peter's walking off into the distance. We're not told how many steps he makes, but I'd imagine it's pretty thrilling. The disciples are looking on thinking, "This is incredible." Peter's probably thinking, "This is incredible." His eyes are utterly fixed on Jesus, and then something goes horribly wrong. Just have a little look. What goes wrong? What changes? Because Peter's doing really well. He's actually walking on water. Can you imagine walking on water? Have you seen the excitement of a child who's learning to ride a bike and they get it and you see their face? That's what Peter's face was times 100. He's not riding a bike, he's walking on water. What goes wrong? Have a little look at the verses. Have a little look particularly at verse 30. Something changes for Peter. And this helps us understand what doubt and little faith is. Look at it, verse 30. When he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid and beginning to sink. What's changed is for Peter, his eyes were utterly fixed on Jesus, walking towards him on the water, and then suddenly he notices all that's going on around. He realizes he's in a storm. He starts to hear the howl of the wind in his ears. He starts to see the size of the waves around him. And he takes his eyes off Jesus, and now all he sees is wind and waves. Remember what Jesus said to him? He said, "Why did you doubt, you of little faith?" What does it mean to doubt? What does it mean to have little faith? It means to take your eyes off Jesus and place them on all the things that are around you. Little faith happens when everything around you becomes big. Little faith actually means that Jesus has become littler still. I don't know whether you've had this experience. I'm sure you have. You're trying to watch the television. If you're a bloke like me, you're utterly transfixed. And then your wife or your children or whoever's there gets in the way. And I don't know, I start making these kind of gestures. Move! Move! Get out of the way! Because what I'm supposed to be fixed on has been interrupted. That's what we're supposed to do when something gets in the way of what we're supposed to be fixed on. Now, my children have learned this behaviour from me, because now when I get in the way of the TV, they're like, "Dad, get out of the way," and they'll get up and push me and all that kind of stuff. Because the thing we're supposed to be transfixed by has been interrupted. And at that moment, we're supposed to push it out of the way and say, "No, I'm fixed on this thing." But what happens in our lives and what happens with Peter is that our eyes get removed from what we're supposed to be fixed on, and the other thing becomes large. It'd be like me stop watching a football match, hard to believe, to look at my children, which sounds terrible, but that's something I find very difficult. My eyes would get moved from what they're supposed to be focused on onto something else. Now, I think this happens in all kinds of ways. We're all going through the same storm at the moment, aren't we? And it's so easy for our eyes to be moved from being fixed on Jesus to being fixed on what's going on around us. Every conversation I have is about the same thing. It's all about what's going on with COVID. Every conversation, basically. And that's a sure sign that my eyes have been moved from being fixed on Jesus to being fixed on my circumstances. And in one sense, it's understandable, but I'm in a place of peril because I'm in a place of potential little faith and doubt. The situation has become big and Jesus has become small. But this happens in all kinds of ways, doesn't it, for us? I remember walking through with a friend who was going through a divorce. He was a Christian man, loved the Lord. As far as I can make out, it wasn't really his fault. But every time I saw him, all he could ever talk about was what was going on in his relationship. And that's understandable. There were children involved, it was painful. But everything that was running through his mind was running through this idea of his circumstances. And one of the reasons he wanted to meet with me and others in our church was that he wanted me to lift his eyes from what was going on around him to the Lord Jesus, the one who is the great reconciler of all things. You see, when we're going through a hard time, whether it's relationships or our situation at the moment, we need people who will come in and say, "No, you need to move that out of the way and have a look at the Lord Jesus for a second. See what he might say to you in the situation. See that he is Lord above the situation." See, little faith, doubt comes when the situation becomes the biggest thing to us. I think another way this happens, even in more normal times, is just with our jobs and our work. I used to have a good friend when I was back in Sheffield who I played hockey with. He was a doctor. And I used to go around to his house for a party, and everyone else there was a doctor. Now, I don't think this is just true of only doctors, this is true of every profession. But when you try to have a conversation with a doctor, all they want to talk about is being a doctor. They would ask me, oh, Joe, what do you do? Expecting me to say, oh, like, I'm a junior house officer, I work in A&E. And I say, oh, I'm a youth worker at a church. And that would be the end of the conversation. They've got nothing to talk about. They don't want to talk to me about anything else. But you see what's happened, and that happens, I think it happens in every profession, having worked in a school, having worked in churches. People in those places only want to talk about their jobs. Our jobs become the most dominant thing to us, and Jesus becomes small. Whether it's good times or bad times, whatever the circumstances, the potential is, whether it's even a good thing, it becomes so big that Jesus and his perspective becomes tiny. See, doubt has the potential to lead to greater worship, but it also has the potential to let you sink. Let's just look what happens with Peter again. Verse 30, when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid, and he, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Peter has got to a crisis point. The wind and the waves, the circumstances become so big that he is beginning to drown. You see, doubt has the potential for greater worship, but it has the potential to sink you and shipwreck your faith. Now the question is, well, how will Jesus respond to a doubter? How will Jesus respond to someone who has little faith? And our expectation might be that you think, well, I've had enough of you, move on. Our expectation might be that doubt and little faith is the worst possible thing, and so Jesus will need us to like grovel our way back into his good books. But do you notice what Jesus did? Verse 31, I love the first word of this verse. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. Immediately. I don't know what's going on for you in your life. I don't know what circumstance is looming so large for you. But I want to say, look, at this moment of potential little faith and doubt, cry out to the Lord Jesus, and immediately he will swoop down to save you. Jesus is desperate for us to call out to him for help in the midst of our circumstances which seem so big. He is gracious and kind towards doubters and those of little faith. Which is why I could say at the start that I've been someone who's been through doubt and little faith, and I'm still here to tell the story. Because every time Jesus has reached out to me and saved me. He's reworked my world that I would see my circumstances smaller and him as larger. In the difficulties of broken relationships, I suppose, I've known Jesus as my friend and my reconciler. In moments of illness and sickness of me and my family, I've realized again that Jesus is healer and will make a world where there'll be no more of those things. In times where I've thought that I need the government to sort out the world, like I do at the moment, Jesus reminds me that he is the one who has the government on his shoulders and he is ultimate king and ruler. When I face the death of loved ones, I've looked again and seen that Jesus is bigger than death. He is the one who is the resurrection and the life. At each moment of little faith and doubt, Jesus stands larger than those things because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so doubt, therefore, does have the potential to lead to greater worship. Because every time you've struggled, every time you've wrestled whether God is there, every time you've experienced little faith, and you're still here today, is a sign that Jesus is better. He's bigger. He is more in control of things than you would ever dream. And he loves you and cares for you more than you'll know. And that should lead to greater worship. And that's exactly where our little bit of the scriptures today finishes. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, a little miracle just thrown in, the wind and the waves died down. Verse 33, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Doubt has the potential to lead to greater worship. And at the moment, I know for many of us, our circumstances loom large. They appear ginormous and insurmountable. But Jesus really is bigger. Jesus really is in control. Jesus really does love you and care about you. I remember one time, particularly when I was wrestling with a big issue. I'd had a difficult time at a place of work. I remember Poppy was in hospital as well with bronchitis, so struggling to breathe and all that kind of stuff. And I remember just feeling slightly broken by it all. And all I could think about was this difficult situation at work, what was going on with Poppy. I couldn't see past it. And I remember going out into my back garden and looking up. And I don't know why, but it had been cloudy that day, but the sky seemed to part slightly. And all I could see was just a blanket of stars. And it's like in that moment, Jesus reminded me that he also made the stars. This situation that I was in felt completely out of control. But Jesus, by Spirit, reminded me as I looked up at the stars that Jesus, he also made the stars. He is utterly in control of all things. And so however out of control my immediate situation felt, I could trust him. I could trust him. It's like he reached his hand out to me, he caught me and he saved me. He caught me and saved me from thinking the situation was everything and that he was tiny. No, the reverse is true. And so as we finish this morning, and let me say this to you, look, maybe at the moment you are experiencing little faith. You're experiencing doubt. Maybe your circumstances just feel ginormous. Well, let that doubt take you on a journey that can lead you to greater worship. Today is the day. It's like you're watching TV, you're fixed on Jesus, and I want you to push all those other things out of the way and say, Jesus, help me understand what's going on. Jesus, reach out and save me. Let me see how big and powerful and good and kind and loving you are towards me. That instead of little faith, we might have, well, maybe we'll still have little faith, but in a big Jesus. And that will help us to keep walking. Not on water, that's not the expectation. But to walk around our homes, this part of God's world, fixed on Jesus and trusting him. Doubt has the potential to lead to greater worship. So let me pray that would be our experience here and at home. Let's pray together. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are gracious and kind towards those of little faith, those who doubt like Peter, like me, like each of us. So this morning, would you reach out to us and remind us again of your bigness, your power, your authority, and your love and your kindness. Might you help us to see our circumstances in the light of who you are, that our little faith, our doubt, may in the end lead to greater worship. This week, help us to be people of faith. You have our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus. Amen.